In the car, I fed my dream. Purple culture flows like sweet streams. I'm the daddy with the know-how seed. Creating the world like it's meant to be. Purple culture, B-I-L-D, I'm the king. Back to love in everything. Bringing change, making it last.
Welcome to episode 317 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where pimp stands for Permaculture is my passion. The only pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living.
Permaculture PIMP with Soulful Grace in the PIMPcast where we find a place.
Oh yeah, this episode as always brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com. Turn that simp into a pimp. Bam! Living Soil Foundation, boy, do we have some news for you today. But coming up on the 18th, I don't have all the details worked out just yet, and we'll be putting out that information hopefully on YouTube as well as X, Instagram. Folks, you have no idea how awful this suppression is right now because I'm saying things that people don't like. So there's going to be suppression out there, and hey, it comes with the territory. But anyway, on the 18th of this month, we're going to have part two of what we're doing out there on this site over in Rollins. Well, it's actually Marshall, North Carolina. It's a community called Rollins that's in there, but that's going to be on the 18th. I'll give you more details hopefully by the next show. Allison from the Farm Connection is going to be kind of working out some of those details, as always, supplying the all of the stuff we're going to be using. And we're going to need some volunteers out there if anybody wants to know how to do this stuff. Because when I'm done telling you what's going on right now, folks, you're probably going to be excited as I am. So I was as happy as a puppy with two Peters today. I ain't kidding you. So I want to give a shout out, as always, to Renewed Homestead. You can go check out their YouTube channel. They got some wonderful stuff out there, and they're doing wonderful things. And, of course, don't start no SH, and there won't be no IT. Otherwise, Denise will send you on the first thing smoking. All right. So, Dr. Will, I met with him. If you remember in the last podcast, I think I talked about it. We were at the Mountain Readiness Festival. He and Pat Miletich, you know, world champion Pat Miletich, he was out there as well. And of course, got to hang out with those guys a little bit, got to meet a lot of you out there and hang out, of course, and had a lot of great conversations. And some of them, man, I wish I could talk about. So I was talking to a lot of, there's a lot of special operations guys that go to this sort of thing. We got old school Green Berets from Vietnam. We got some modern ones out there. And man, the things that they tell you off the record, man, will blow your mind and make you really realize that you need to be doubling down on your preparedness. So one of those guys, he's given me a lot of information. Well, actually quite a few of them. And folks, I'm just telling you, man, stay vigilant, stay alert. These are guys that are in, we're talking like active duty Green Berets. Okay. Special forces, you know. And these guys, as I told you before, man, they're really not liking the direction of where things are going. So you might want to double down on your preparedness. That's why I'm going to be talking about part of it tonight and answering some of the compost issues that a lot of people are having right now. So we'll come to that in a minute. But anyway, met Dr. Will out on the site in Rollins today. And that was the site, folks. Remember, when we first, I'll kind of give you a history report. By the way, if you're new coming in right now, please hit that thumbs up and tell everybody we're live. So a while back, we had testing done out here in Rollins, and we brought in engineers because we couldn't find good, reliable, we couldn't find a lab to save our lives, y'all. And then turns out one of my friends who works in a lot of the freedom movements here in North Carolina, I'm not going to say who it is or where they're located because I really don't need people poo-pooing this lab. So finally, turns out her husband just happens to be an environmental engineer, does testing all the time. So he tested an area in Asheville. He tested, he and his team actually, they tested, they tested three different sites, but Rollins was the worst by far. So Dr. Will, when he came out, he did his scalar testing. Rollins was the worst by far. And it was funny because once we kind of overlaid each, when we looked at the results, they each mirrored one another. So it told me, wow, man, Dr. Will's testing is really something else, because you don't have to wait 2 weeks. He's practically doing it on the spot. Now he'll go back to his lab and analyze things further, but his on-the-spot testing is pretty impressive. And it mirrored almost exactly the same exact thing we got from the environmental engineers. So anyway, I said all that to say this. So Rollins was the area we selected. When we said we're going to remediate something, this area in Rollins, one particular site, we're like, okay, we're going to pick this one because it's the worst. Man, they found even nuclear stuff out there. Nobody wants to talk about that. Of course, Mountain True, and of course, the local newspapers wanted to tell everybody everything was all clear when they knew for a fact that it wasn't. In fact, we even have their testing results showing that they were openly, blatantly lying to everybody in Western North Carolina about their testing results at exactly the same. And like I said, we have their results. These dummies actually sent it to us. So, or sent it to somebody else who sent it to us. And, yeah, at the very same time, they were telling everybody it was all clear. They had evidence showing that their testing result was even worse than ours. So anyway, said all that to say, I met Dr. Will came to my house. We drove out there to the site in Rollins. Now, as many of you know, I'll have to restate this for the folks that are just tuning in, but we've been out there since the winter weekly and sometimes, you know, as often as we could, putting out our compost extract along with Dr. Will's proprietary stuff. Now, we have multiple sites where we've done testing and we're doing testing where we've taken, let's say, raised beds that were contaminated with Grazon. We've taken three of those and we put nothing but Dr. Will's stuff on it. And then we've taken another three beds and we put nothing but my stuff on it. And then we've taken seven beds and put it where it was combined. And folks, the results are astonishing. They really are. And we'll come to that at a later podcast. I'm not ready to talk about really a lot of this yet, but I want to kind of let you know that your money is being used. All of you people that have donated to Living Soil Foundation, that your money is 100% of everything you donate is being used for the cause. So what we're doing at this moment is creating a decentralized way. No matter where you are in the United States of Amnesia or even anywhere on this earth, that you can take these methods that we're developing and you can bring it back to your place no matter the situation. And these forever chemicals we're finding out may not be forever chemicals, at least not with the protocols we're using. And we're using things that are on this planet. We're not using any man-made chemicals. So Dr. Will comes out on the site today and he freaked me out because I didn't realize that he took samples that were like directly by the river, okay? The French Broad River, which happens to run right alongside this place. He took a sample there, then he took one up on the bank that we've been treating, then he took one higher in the landscape, and then took one higher where these folks are living. And he had no idea how I did my protocols out here. He had no idea that the area that was closest to the river was the area that I was hitting weeks before I started doing anything else, because I didn't know people were actually going to live on the other side. So anyway, long story short, when he first came out with the test, I'm looking at his results because he's writing it by hand as he's doing the preliminary tests of it. And I'm like, why on earth did we even do this? And I said it to him. I was like, dude, you mean to tell me I've been wasting my time out here? And then he looks at me like he's confounded for a moment there. He says, no, man, this is the river. What you're looking at is the river. These are the results of the river and the bank that is within a foot of the river, areas I didn't treat. So I'm like, okay, I'm on pins and needles. Like, dude, okay. So I'm like, okay, I can kind of settle down a little bit. And then he goes back and then he tests the area that's closest to that area, which is near the river. Folks, absolutely astonishing results. Absolutely positively astonishing results. Showing basically of every awful thing that was over there before, according to his testing, no longer exists. And then as he went further up in the landscape, it got even better. And then when he got over by the trailer, it wasn't as good, but it was still within acceptable limits. which of course we'll rectify with, you know, a few more applications, at least two more. So I wanted to get Dr. Will out here and do the initial testing to find out whether or not I should even call in the engineers, because every time we call in the engineers, that's another $10,000 that's going out the door. So I'm not looking to waste your money, only to get them to come out here and say, "Nope, ain't there yet." So Dr. Will is doing this pro bono, so he's saving this foundation a lot of money, and I'm able to take every dime you folks are donating and putting it to the cause, buying more product that I need, or buying more, you name it, like another 300-gallon IBC tote or another pump because this one's getting old. All those things right there, or buying more trees, and that's part of what we're doing in that thing on the 18th. So he looked at it, and I'd never seen the man so excited. I mean, he was absolutely floored. When the owners of this property came out, they're living in their fifth wheel out there. They came out, and Dr. Will explains what's going on. Like, hey, if I were you, I would not let these children anywhere near that river. It's that bad. So then I said, "Doc, look," he had to get on the road, but I was like, "Hey, man, can I just twist your arm just a little bit longer and have you do a control, like go maybe a football field away from here, areas I didn't treat, and can you go test it?" So we tested it, and folks, I kid you not, that soil was almost as bad as the river. It was like slightly better, but it was still very much polluted. Just because you see green stuff growing out there, folks, doesn't mean that it's on the mend. Doesn't even mean that it's close to being on the mend. So long story, hopefully less long, is that what we're doing is making a massive impact. So I've called the engineers, and we're going to get them out. It was looking like they were going to be there on the 18th, but it looks like they may have to push it up till after Memorial Day. I'm trying to twist their arms and get them out here as soon as possible so we can get enough people out here realizing, so I can release this protocol that we've used, that we've come up with, which in a nutshell is basically my compost extract made from BioComplete compost along with some vermicompost combined with Dr. Will's proprietary stuff. Now that stuff, my stuff you can make if you do it right, if you pay attention to the videos I'm making, and Dr. Will's stuff you'll have to buy. So honestly, when you look at the cost of it, I mean, at the end of the day, man, if it means I'm feeding my animals clean, good stuff, you know, maybe it's on a pasture you need it done, or better still, maybe it's in your gardens that you need it done. We're finding out that our protocol is absolutely positively working. So this is fantastic news in my book. Also, Dr. Will also said while he was here, I had, you know, a lot of time to chat with him. He's saying that people further down the river, and this is a story you're not going to hear anywhere else. The mainstream media isn't touching this. You heard me talk a while back, Michelle and I meeting up with Dr. Will near Lake Douglas. And we met up with some firefighters over there. Well, the government has rolled in, according to Dr. Will, made all these people sign non-disclosure agreements and have done some pretty massive testing on all of these people, not giving them any treatment whatsoever. And apparently in these communities around there, nearly 150 people have died. Yeah, 150 people have died, have succumbed to respiratory illnesses that nobody can make sense of, or turbo cancers, even though they weren't jabbed. So it makes sense of that one for me. Meanwhile, nobody in the prostitute media is talking about any of this stuff. Well, I'll tell you about it. And when I get Dr. Will back on the show, maybe he'll feel free to go into some of the details. But a lot of these guys, in fact, one of them had moved away from that area. And he told Dr. Will, he's like, "Man, all my friends are dying back there, man. They're just dropping like flies." So, and of course, you know, yeah, there was, you know, no pollution out there, no problems, no nothing whatsoever. So, folks, that's what we're working on here. That's what Living Soil Foundation is. I was tired when I got up today, but honestly, after I got that news, I was like, man, I don't know how I'm going to sleep tonight, because honestly, this is great news. And no, I'm not suicidal. So, don't worry, this is all going to be decentralized. I mean, I've given you all the recipe out there that you need in terms of making compost, folks. I'll go back to the Lubka Farm. I've talked about them repeatedly on this podcast, but I want to make sure I kind of circle back to that. Remember, downstream of Chernobyl, the one area to this day was unaffected. That was the Lubka Farm. What did they do there? They pioneered windrow composting. Okay, so now take that along with the extremophiles that I'm working with with Dr. Will, and we combine them together, folks, we're doing stuff in months that would ordinarily, I mean, you think about the typical way in which they deal with toxicity in this country. We go out there, we dig it up, we put it on the truck, drive it cross country and dump it in Arizona somewhere or New Mexico. I'm dead serious. That's how they do it. They just dump it out in the middle of a desert somewhere and then just bring in some new soil from another place they rob it from, which is absolute insanity. Even Dr. Elaine Ingham has talked about the insanity of moving toxicity from one place to the other when you can remediate it right there on the spot. But they don't want you to know that these solutions are simple. Remember, like Bill Mollison said, the problems of this world become increasingly complex, but the solutions are embarrassingly simple, and they really are. So, folks, if you know how to make this compost, this is why I beat you over the head as often as I do concerning compost, because like I said, take the Lubka Farm. What were they great at? Windrow composting. From that time until now, and they were specializing in growing brassicas. From that time until now, there is no radiation on there. So what's happening on that property? Huh? Well, people would want to crucify me if I said it was transmutation, because mainstream science says that this can only happen in a nuclear reactor. Well, we're finding out possibly that low-energy nuclear reactions are happening within this life that we're putting out there. So if you put the right things in place, folks, we're finding out in short order that not only are we remediating this spot out here, if you think about the time it took, most of our microbes, when we were doing it through the winter, I knew that as I was doing it, it was kind of like peeing in the ocean, because your microbes really, when you do this sort of thing, they really don't come alive until the ambient temperature is around 60 degrees. So the fact that we did this mostly through the winter, and it's still been relatively cool around here, and the fact that we've already hit the finish line, folks, I mean, in weather like it is right now, as we're getting into spring and summer, I mean, could we potentially remediate things in a month or two? I got to believe that it's possible now. I mean, this is insane. I mean, this is earth-shattering news, folks. You don't need their garbage. You don't need their chemicals. You don't need any of that stuff. It's all out there in nature. Now, if you want to speed it up, yeah, you can use Dr. Will's product. But like I said, they're not even ready yet. I mean, this stuff is, they're still trying to put things together. They're not even ready to sell this stuff yet. And I'm not going to give you the official report until we get the stuff back from the environmental engineers, until they confirm what we think we know. And as I said before, Dr. Will's testing proved to be every bit as accurate as the chemical analysis at a lab. So that's where we are right there on that, folks. And it's just pleasing to me to know that with all your donations out there, folks, we are moving the needle in a massive way, in a massive, massive way. And before it's all said and done, we'll have a decentralized step-by-step thing. And you don't have to live in a place that's highly polluted. It could be, let's say you just didn't know what you were doing for years, and maybe you put down some Grazon, maybe you put down some Roundup, maybe you didn't know what you were doing, or maybe you bought a piece of property that was inexpensive and they used Roundup and all these other stuff for years. Well, we're finding out that we can clean that stuff up in record time. And this is a game changer in a massive way. Now, trying to get folks to make compost biocomplete is another thing altogether. And that's why you've noticed William has been spending a whole lot of time talking about it. And I've been talking about how to fix crappy compost here lately. So we're going to stay on top of it, folks, because once that soil's right, everything else is right. As long as you don't do foolish things like overgraze or put down chemicals or dewormer, you don't need any of that garbage. You don't. You really don't. And if you have animals that don't make it, well, you know, you're going to have to cull heavily. I mean, this ain't a petting zoo. So you will get there, folks. So sorry to no, I'm not sorry to spend so much time on there, folks. That's the best news I've ever offered on this podcast. I'm dead serious. That is the best news I've ever given everybody on this podcast, outside of the fact that Jesus died and he's risen for your sins and he's at the right hand of the Father. So, I mean, outside of that, I mean, this is the best news I've ever given you on this podcast. So, yeah, I'm really, really digging it. So other news around here, eating fresh salads every day. You got to love that. Going down there, hitting that high tunnel with all that. Remember, we had polluted soil down there. And in less than a season, in just in a couple of months, I'm comfortable eating the salad that's coming out of there every single morning. I eat a salad every day. And, you know, I try to eat something off the farm every single day. I don't care if you're growing mint in the window, folks. Try to eat something off your farm every single day. Your gut will probably thank you for it. So eating fresh salads every day, and honestly, the pastures are balling. I'm not saying that to brag. I'm just telling you that these methods work. That's why we do them. Now, does it require something out of you? Yeah, this time of year, we're moving them every single day. We move the sheep every single day. We move the chickens every single day. And those are all that we can manage right now, I mean, with the two of us on this farm and all the other things that we're doing. But you can really, if you rolled by here, folks, and you looked at us and you look at everybody around us, you would think, I mean, people slow down and they're like, what are these people doing out there? And I'm sure there's a lot of old timers that are driving by thinking, man, I can't believe they're leaving all that grass behind. Well, there's a reason for it. You know, you don't rape the soil. You know, we take what we need and then move them on. Then when the grass is growing quick, we move them quick. When it's growing slow, we move them slow. So that's exactly what we're doing right now. Even another little experiment, I'd be remiss if I didn't point this out. So I put in these four raised bed, like store-bought, 2 feet tall, 4 feet wide, 8 feet long kind of raised beds, and about a house. So I had some wooden ones there. This, when the hurricane, that manufactured hurricane came through, man, it just destroyed all my raised beds. So that was another casualty, but I was like, well, let me put back something else that I think I'm going to be more happy with. So I put in these raised beds, and I intentionally put in that store-bought crappy compost, okay? Had no life in it. We looked at it under the microscope, absolutely denuded of life, but we planted a bunch of potatoes in there anyway. Folks, you will not believe, if I told you this soil had no life whatsoever in it, and if you look at these potatoes up there right now, it is absolutely jaw-dropping. And I'm doing the very same thing that I'm doing on that polluted property by the river. Excuse me. The very same thing I'm doing there is exactly what I'm doing with the soil. And I'm doing it. I planted them first and then started remediating the soil. So these potatoes, by every indication, man, it's going to be a bumper crop up there. And it was all with awful soil. So here it is. Even though it was already planted, these guys are absolutely off and running. And, so anything can be remediated, I'm convinced at this point. So when they say these forever chemicals, I'm not buying it. These PFAS, I mean, yeah, you obviously don't want to get mixed up with them, and dioxins and things like that. You don't want to be getting mixed up with them. But the notion that there is no solution for this is starting to really feel absurd. And the people that propagate this sort of thing, well, they're either ignorant or they're working for the powers that shouldn't be. So that was another little thing. Okay. So one more thing I was just going to hit on, and that is, yeah, I'm going to go a little bit sideways. It's not necessarily farm news, but boy, there's a whole lot of scuttlebutt out there regarding this new Surgeon General. And people are losing their minds, and I think rightfully so. So this Casey Means, okay? Like Dr. Jack Crew says, the woman didn't even finish her residency. It can't even operate in a hospital. But, and everybody, a lot of people don't know the dirt that's under the fingernails of Casey and Callie Means. Take a look. It's not what they've told you about regarding these dyes and these other things. Folks, consider the things they didn't tell you about. Okay. You know what? This Surgeon General is going to guarantee that the powers that shouldn't be are basically going to, they just won. I mean, they just won in that department. Think about it. Nobody, she will never address the jab. She will never address non-native EMF and its deleterious effects on human health. She's never going to address chemtrails. You look at what Casey and Callie Means have talked about. Are you telling me the reason people are dropping like flies all over the place is because of red dye number 7? Folks, I know people are absolutely, absolutely positively aggravated to no end when they look at what's happening with this so-called America First administration, because it's anything but. And they're losing their minds over this Surgeon General. And I'm telling you what, folks, the pop-off valve on this steam. Yeah, Steve said it right there. There you go, Steve. Yeah, they're both status plants. That's exactly what they are. And everybody thinks because they wrote this book. Look, folks, when somebody comes out of nowhere and all of a sudden they're on Joe Rogan and Tucker Carlson, you should start asking critical questions, because I'm telling you right now, both of those guys, Carlson puts out some good information, but both of them are absolutely CIA plants. I mean, Hannity was so bold to put it right there on his lapel. He would wear a CIA lapel pin for crying out loud. Look, when you all of a sudden see these people that nobody's ever heard of, and then all of a sudden you look under their fingernails and figure out who they're tied up with. Callie Means is hooked up with all of the seedy people from Klaus Schwab and all the others. And then Casey Means. How do you become Surgeon General when you got somebody, I mean, any number of people out there that you could have put it? How about Joe Latipo out of Florida? Wouldn't he have been a great choice? But no, that choice ensures that the status quo remains the same. So why did I say all this? Why did I go the sideways there? Folks, if you're one of those people right now, we got both sides of the spectrum that are suffering from TDS, you know, that Trump derangement syndrome. Well, on the left, it's Trump derangement, but on the right, it's Trump delusion syndrome. If you think, if you're one of these people that I know of that went out there and said, oh, Trump's in office, party, good days, happy, yeah, I'm done with preparedness, you're a dummy, okay? Let me just say it straight. You are a hoople-headed dummy. Wake up. I mean, if you think anything has changed, folks, if anything, they are doubling down on what they're doing. It was like Dr. Will said to me when we were rolling through town. He says, you know what? I knew that we were hoodwinked the second they got into office and you gave $500 billion to a bunch of the same people that are suppressing the information I put out there and all the other, and people like you in this audience. Everybody is being suppressed that is telling you a story or a narrative that's 180 degrees out of phase with what they want you to know. That's why we're being suppressed big time in every single platform we're on, but I'm still going to keep fighting until they take us out or remove us. I mean, which is entirely possible. So anyway, folks, like I said, you name another person that would have been a better Surgeon General possibly than Joe Latipo out of Florida. I mean, I'm sure there's a number of other good docs out there. How about Mary Tally Bowden? They're trying to take her license for curing people, for crying out loud. So if you're taking your marching orders from RFK Jr., who turned out to be a big snake in the grass, or any of these other people out there, folks, rethink your life. Because I got news for you. It didn't improve. I know nobody wants to hear this stuff, but that's what people pay me for. You want to hear the real truth about it? I'm not wearing my political analyst hat when I was back working for talk radio, but folks, I mean, I haven't forgotten those skills. And it's not like I'm a Johnny come lately to this stuff. And a lot of you aren't either. So when we get out there and we talk about this stuff, I mean, there's a lot of, like Steve could vouch for it. I mean, there's conversations we have around the fire at these gatherings that, of course, I can't have right here. And obviously, there's a number of reasons why. But folks, just get your house in order. That's all I'm going to tell you. I made my little prediction about 2025. And I told you, for those that, I mean, you can go back a few podcasts and go check it out. But William and I were talking about what may unfold in 2025. We talked about the Deagle Report, talked about some of these presidential predictions. We've talked about a number of things. I hope I'm wrong about all of it. But I will say, history shows that when you have a population this decadent, this sloven, this stupid, this willfully ignorant, only the crucible of really hard times fixes it. That's a fact. In fact, name one time outside of Nineveh where anybody's ever corrected themselves, and even they got dealt with after a while. No decadent society ever fixes itself without the crucible of really hard times. So, get your house in order, folks. Sorry to belabor that, but I think it's necessary. And I'm judging by what I'm able to glean in the chat. You know, it seems like a number of people actually agree with that assessment. So, yeah, Redemption Shield, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Wave Watch, Billy 100 will get you $100 off of one of those. I wear it every time I go out. If you saw me at that festival this last weekend, you saw me wearing it. Folks, I wear that thing legit every single time I leave the farm. Even when I do stupid things and mess my back up on the farm, so I, you know, wind up using it for those things as well. It was all my fault. But anyway, I did something stupid and messed my back up. But I'm on the mend. Hey, check this out. Wellbots reached out to me, and they're running a deal. That Anchor Solix, I don't get anything for this, but they asked me to let y'all know about it. Wellbots, they got refurbished Anchor Solix F3800 solar generator units. 1999. Okay. Let's call that just 2000. So it's considerably cheaper. And now I guess with Billy, with 100 Billy, not Billy 100, but in this one, it's 100 Billy. We'll get you an additional $100 off of that thing. And folks, that's another thing you might want to think about. All this stuff that's coming from China right now. So far the prices haven't gone up on things like this. I mean, but where, I don't care. You think you're going to find an American made solar generator or anything American made solar. You're kidding yourself, because every component, and I mean every component, comes from Taiwan, but mostly from China. And take that from me, a journeyman electrician. So if you're looking to get anything, if you're wanting to get one of these, you can get one of those. I'm probably going to be talking more and more about that stuff in the near future. So also want to tell you why William's not here. He is teaching at Midwest Preparedness. He's going to be doing a, I think today he did a processing class with a sheep out there. And tomorrow, I think, Joel Salatin's also going to be there. And by the way, y'all, it's free. So go to MidwestPreparedness.com, and they have their, it's like a week-long event that they have. And I think it finishes on this Sunday. Really awesome thing. I mean, it's a bunch of camping. You can camp there, or you can stay in Lawrence, Kansas. It's basically just outside of Lawrence, over by Clinton Lake. And really good stuff there. Bear Independence is going to be there. So if you're anywhere in the vicinity, folks, I mean, it's a free event, for crying out loud. I don't know why you'd pass that up, man, especially with what's happening out there. So Bear Independence there. I'm not sure what Bear's doing, but wherever Bear is, I'm guaranteeing it's worth your while. And there's a number of others out there as well. But William's going to be teaching three different classes. And I think today he was absolutely doing. Now, he's going to take those guts from that animal, and he's going to make a compost pile out of it tomorrow. So, folks, you know, it's, as a dad, and I'm sure a lot of you people will kind of absolutely. Thank you so much for that, Denise. I'll put it on the screen. 100 Billy for the discount code for Wellbots. As a dad, you know, I've met so many other dads over the years, or fathers, whatever you want to call them, that they would be almost jealous that their kids did so well. Oh, he'll never be as good as the old man. I remember just being absolutely infuriated with that nonsense. Or they would mistreat their kids because they thought they might be doing better than them. Folks, like Da Vinci wrote, it's a poor pupil that does not surpass his master. So if you're one of those guys out there who, you know, craps on your kids because you're afraid they might exceed you, you know what? They should. If you were a good dad or whatever, if you were, you know, an inspiration or whatever, they should take whatever you taught them past where they found it. So when I see my son out here, you know, and he's doing incredible things. I mean, you know, I poured a lot of what I know into him. I mean, there's still clearly things he needs to learn in terms of wisdom, but that's how you get wisdom, you know, by living. But when I see him out here doing what he's doing and seeing how great of an instructor he is and how in so many ways he's so much better than his old man, folks, I mean, it's the only worthwhile thing. I mean, yeah, I put in a lot of food for us, a lot of trees, a lot of gardens, a lot of this, a lot of that, raise a lot of animals, done all these things. But the only worthwhile thing I'm ever going to leave on this planet is my son. Yeah, that's the best tree I've ever planted. And also my grandbaby and, you know, our progeny. That's the only worthwhile thing. So folks, pour everything you have into them. I mean, give them your knowledge. And then give them room to make, and this is where I was maybe not so good in the past, but give them room to make colossal mistakes. Let them make those errors. And if you taught them right, they're going to figure it out. They're going to work it out. And I know Steve, I mean, you know, with Colin, same exact way, man. You know, you got your kids out here working with you, man. You pour your knowledge into them with the hopes that they're going to take it past where they found it. But yeah, those guys out there that say, oh, well, he's never going to be as good as the old man. Well, yeah. You got some thinking to do. So right, yeah, like Tambor says, let the little kids participate. Yep. I believe the children are future. All right, so I'm gonna get into the good news right now. So this is really good news. Check this out. China's meltdown proof thorium reactor could ignite clean energy revolution. Now, folks, I'm a journeyman electrician. I've worked in a lot of powerhouses over the years. If you ever go to a coal-fired powerhouse or a nuclear or even a gas-fired powerhouse, they are massive. they have a footprint that'll blow your mind. Well, how many of you even know that there is a, we had it on the books forever and a day, a thorium reactor. You know why we never built them? Because you can't take the byproducts out of it and make weapons. Yeah. And, you know, a tornado could hit a thorium reactor. Guess what? No problem. No radiation spills everywhere. So you got to be asking yourself, why didn't we put thorium reactors, even though we had, when we came up with the nuclear reactor, thorium was one of the things we knew right off the bat would absolutely work. And guess what? It is a fraction of the size. It might be 1/1000th or 1/100th, maybe. I might be a little hyperbolic there. 1/100th the size of a regular nuclear reactor. But we don't build them. And anybody ever wonder why we put all of our nuclear reactors right there on fault lines, known fault lines? You ever wonder that? Because I have. Nobody ever asked that question. Why do we put them on fault lines that we know are fault lines? Huh? It's almost like somebody knows something. But anyway. So anyway, China, they're leading the way in, like right there in the Gobi Desert, they put this thorium reactor out there and it's 2 megawatts. That is seriously respectable. And we've had this technology forever and a day, but we're not doing it in the United States of Amnesia. We don't do them anywhere else on this planet. China had to lead the way in this so we could actually have clean nuclear power? Huh. But it's not seeing the light of day. Well, I'll leave that. Like I said, the only reason why we haven't messed with it is because you can't make nuclear weapons out of the byproduct. Awful. Yeah, these are the kind of psychos we got running our government, folks. All right, so some other good news before I end up turning that one into bad news and going on a rant. Anyway, somebody asked, Triple Oaks Farm asked, I'm just going to kind of go sideways here for a second. Billy, what's your longest fast? 4 or 5 days, and I felt like I could have probably gone much, much longer. So anyway, Tamara says, I came to Midwest Preparedness to see William. Oh, okay. And then I heard about Joel Salatin. Yeah, he's going to be there too. So yeah. And then Bear, that's a trifecta, folks, you can't miss. So, and it's free. So if you're anywhere, I mean, if it costs you gas money to get there, you can camp out. Everybody else is. I mean, just find you a camp spot. And this is one of the best preparedness groups, folks. I used to be a part of this group. So this is one of the best preparedness groups until we left Kansas. And William said the weather's perfect. Just excellent fellowship. And I think on Saturday or Sunday, they'll have their potluck. And they do this. I mean, this is going to be a fantastic gathering. So you definitely want to be there. She says, Bear was great. Yeah, Bear is my homeboy. All right. So the other good news, Smartphone Free City Initiative in St. Albans, a conservative blueprint for digital detox gains traction. So check this out. Over in England, they are doing, they've basically made the school so like anybody under the age of 14 is not allowed a cell phone. Okay, that's a really good start. Really, really good start. And you can't bring it to school. Now, you can have a flip phone, but with, I guess, without texting ability. Well, the only thing they need to do right now is get rid of the blue light that they have in all these schools right now, because you're surrounded by blue light in every single capacity. And that's where, you know, for years, and this is part of what I want to talk to Dr. Jack Cruz about, is that when they came out, I was doing talk radio at the time when Obama came out with a ban of the incandescent bulb in the United States. And all of a sudden you couldn't find them anywhere. I knew it was something as crooked as a dog's hind leg was going on. And at the same time got rid of analog and made everything digital. And I knew that was suspicious, but I didn't know the full extent of why they wanted to get rid of the incandescent light bulb. So just to kind of piggyback on this story is that when you don't have incandescents, you don't get the full range. You're getting all you're getting right now is blue light. You got a narrow band. And your body, your mind, your eyes never see blue light in nature, except it's the rarest color in nature, okay? You only see that midday and it's coming from the sun and it's not polarized, okay? So think about that. If you got light bulbs that are putting out blue light that is telling your body, be very awake, be very awake, be very awake, be very awake. If you have that in your house, all over your house, these incandescent and these LED bulbs, not incandescent, but the LEDs and the CFLs, if you're putting them all over your house, you ever wonder why maybe your sleep and everything else and, you know, your circadian cycle may be way, way off? Well, that's part of the problem. That's a big part of the problem. I kid you not. That's why Obama got rid of the incandescent bulb. Yeah, does this sound a little conspiratorial? It is, because it's true. That's why they got rid of it. It's because you are 10 times more suggestible when all you look at is blue light. That's why your TV, unless you have a brand new TV with the settings where you're able to get rid of the blue light, that's what's on it. Your computer screens, okay? Unless you get a daylight computer, you are getting, or unless you find the way to do the settings to where you can eliminate the blue light, that's what you're looking at. And it's not just through your eyeballs. It's on your skin, the whole nine yards. Well, anyway, yeah, getting rid of the phones is a really good start. But get rid of the light bulbs that you have, those, and they're probably almost all, you know, fluorescent. So get rid of those too, and then maybe we can have less people that are so willing to be spoon-fed knowledge instead of, you know, looking into it for themselves. So the final good news stuff here is forgotten superfoods, how strawberries, blueberries, dark chocolate, and other flavonoid-rich foods could save your heart and mind. So flavonoid-rich foods like strawberries, blueberries, and dark chocolate could slash heart attack risk by up to 34%. And women consuming 3 servings of berries weekly saw dramatic reductions in fatty and mental decline. And even red wine and green tea was also great for inflammation and stuff like that. Now, with the red wine, that's not a license. Like, hey, you know, if this is really good for me, let me go ahead and drink 2 more bottles of this stuff. And probably want to stay away from that stuff that comes out of a box, too. So anyway, all in moderation, right? So anyway, that's the good stuff out there. That's the good news. All right, we don't have anything from Eric, so we're going to, well, jump right into the main topic here in a second. But I want to let you know that EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. Remember, I've been talking about some of the preparedness stuff going on here and how folks stay alert, stay alive. That's why it's the tagline of this show. There's so many things weird in this world right now. And a lot of us were believing that this new administration was going to be the answer to a lot of it. And folks, you're being hoodwinked. Okay. Well, how close are we to an EMP? I don't know, but I know one thing. You're always, especially this time of year, close to a lightning strike. So at the end of the day, the EMP shield that you can put on your house, if anything gets past it downstream, guess what? You're covered for 25 G's. So EMP shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. All right. So I want to get into the main topic here. And one of my homeboys, EJ, I met him a while back when we did a festival, he and his wife. And they were really, really wonderful people. And, you know, I was, you know, like Steve and a number of others out there, man, I'm like, man, you meet these folks at these festivals and you're wishing, man, I wish they'd live down the road from me right now. I wish, you know, you just wish that all the people that you meet at these conferences, these festivals, these gatherings, you just wish that you were in closer proximity to so many of them. It's why it's such a joy to go to these things, or even some of the smaller gatherings are the ones I love most are really the ones like Ben and Denise put on out in out where they live in Burnsville, because it's way more intimate, you know? I mean, it could be a potluck, you know? It could be Chef Shane comes out. It could be any number of things. But when you meet these folks, man, you realize you got so much in common that you don't have in common, maybe a lot of us, with our own families. I mean, seriously, there's a lot of us that don't necessarily have anything in common. I mean, I have family right now that if you put me in a room with them, I wouldn't even know what to say. And I'm sure a lot of you are out there the same way. But anyway, some of these guys from time to time, man, they send me some really good show ideas or things that they're struggling with. And in the radio business, we know that if one person writes to you, there's at least 10 to 20 others that thought the same thing, but, you know, didn't write to you. So if there's any show ideas or something you want me to address that maybe I might know about, or if I don't know, maybe I can get an expert on. I mean, maybe you got a carpentry question. We get Steve on to talk about some of that. Or maybe you have a question where I'm not a pro. I mean, we'll see about, you know, if you reach out to me, billy@permapastorsfarm.com, if you have something you want to see addressed, especially in the preparedness space. I mean, if there's anything in particular, let me know, and we will definitely see what we can do about that. Anyway, Steve wrote to me And he says, could you go through some remedies for compost piles that have flopped or cooled off? I still can't get mine right, and compost is my number one need. I started with 50% fresh grass clippings, 50% carbon, 1 cubic yard, just like you showed in the Jamboree. And then after the first flip, I waited for 168 to 170 degrees. It cooled and won't come up past 110. I added my urine and blood and guts and all that stuff, but no increase. Okay, so let me tell you some of the most common compost problems that we come across. And William, if you're out there, if William's out there at this festival right now, I promise you, he's going to tell you the number one problem we've come across, pile's not big enough. So we say, I should make a little caveat that you want to try to get somewhere in the neighborhood of about 1 cubic yard when it's all said and done. You want enough size there to be able to house these microbes to let them really get off and running. Okay, when you first get that heat going in a pile, your fungi isn't doing much. Your fungi really doesn't come active. It's staying in a, you know, it's not really doing that nothing. It's basically staying put until the pile comes to ambient temperature outside, okay? So you don't really have to worry about your fungi at first. What you're trying to do is your bacteria is basically your heavy lifter when you're making heat in that compost. That and probably some of the archaea, which is, you know, you need an electron microscope to see some of those guys. But nobody ever wants to do the research on archaea unless you're Dr. Will Spencer. So anyway, so if it's not heating up, if it heated up at first, tell me you had enough fuel, but on the back end, if it cooled down, maybe you didn't have as much 50% greens in there that you wished you had, or your greens, if they were like something you got out of your bag or from your mower, those are the best ways because those things stay hot and, you know, it'll get intermixed throughout all the pile. Another thing, you want to make absolutely sure you're adding air to the pile because if it goes anaerobic, it's going to get cold, it's going to get stale, it's probably going to stink. That's another big thing. So when you flip your pile in like the compost video I'm going to put out tomorrow, you'll see that as I stick it into the cage, I'm shaking the pitchfork. And when you do that, you're adding air into the pile. Don't try to mush it down. Don't do any of that stuff. Just let it cook down all by itself. Another good thing is your moisture. I should be able to grab a handful of that stuff, squeeze it as hard as I can with two hands or whatever, and get a single drop. Or if I got one hand, I should see, you know, a little bit of water coming up in between my knuckles. If you don't have enough water in there, you're not going to make the reaction sustained. So that's another good thing. Also, in terms of your carbon, I don't know what those sources are. So you want a variety of carbon. Remember, folks, the only place where diversity, equity, and inclusion works on this planet is in a compost pile. Yeah, there's a joke in there somewhere. But anyway, so you want to make sure that the carbon you're using, that's where a lot of people get. If you're using straight up wood chips, that could be a problem. You want to make sure you have carbon in the form of straw, hay. Yeah. You know, maybe some of the wood shavings from your chicken tractor, whatever the case may be, but leaves are also a really good source. You want to make absolutely sure you have diversity of carbon in there because if you're using all wood chips, you need a lot of nitrogen because your carbon to nitrogen ratio in wood chips is super, super high, especially if they're bigger wood chips. So the bigger the chips are, the bigger the carbon to nitrogen ratio it is. So you want to make sure, and in fact, folks, it'll cost you a dollar, but if you want to go over there and check out our Patreon, that's where I've done step by step and, you know, answered a lot of questions on how to go about this. So those are really the big ones. And honestly, the answer that nobody ever wants to hear is, especially when you have compost questions like this, because it can be aggravating. You're putting in a lot of work and you feel like you're not getting quite the return out of it. The problem you're running into is that I can't actually see it. You know, I don't know if I could see the pile, and seeing it through a picture may not be enough. I mean, three-dimensionally helps because when you're working with compost, you're using your sense of sight, your smell, your touch, you know, you're using all these things, but just keep practicing at it. And then you said you had urine. I'm wondering if you used urine and all that other stuff, because that's really kicking. That's like high octane stuff. I'm wondering if A, your pile wasn't big enough, or B, maybe you need a little more air in that pile. Because if you got up to 168 to 170, man, yeah, it sounds like, yeah, there's something definitely wrong in the technique. So you just gotta work with it a little bit. All right. So part two, You mentioned water catchment. Now, this is something, I mean, EJ, man, he's always thinking outside the box. So I thought these were great questions. You mentioned water catchment on your podcast. Do you have any worries about chemtrail toxins and nanoparticles from rainwater and any other solutions? I'm not sure what filter can take care of nanoparticles, but we have a Berkey filter for our drinking water. For our animals, we usually add some Safrax, who almost said that word I can't say, those Safrax tablets to the water after a rain and mix some humic acid in there to feed, to pull out the toxins. Okay. To a certain extent, you kind of answered your own question there. Now, as far as rainwater catchment and stuff like that, and these chemtrails. Now, folks, I want you to consider for a moment. I'm going to go conspiratorial one more time. Remember, the last thing Julian Assange said before they threw him in the slammer. Remember what he was talking about? It was that, quote, magic dust. He was talking about the stuff they're dropping from the sky, okay? And yes, there's plenty of nanoparticles and all that stuff. Just ask Dame Wigington if you really want to get freaked out. Anyway, so what do we do? Well, the first thing that popped off in my head was, I don't think reverse osmosis will get rid of it. Distillation, maybe? I don't know. But I know that you can chelate it out on the back end, kind of like what you're doing with your animals, with the humic acid and the Safrax tablets. And like I said, I can't say that word on here, otherwise they will ban this video. Actually, they'll give me my second strike on YouTube. So I can't say what that is. But anyway, I don't know that there is a really good filtration system outside of the fact that your body can possibly chelate that stuff out of there. Plus, Dr. Anna Mihalchik has talked about one of the chelation methods I use is EDTA chelation. And that'll strip out. Now, I don't know. She says that it will get rid of all of the heavy metals, which are the key components in some of the nanoparticles that they're dropping from the sky. So basically, it's hard for that nanoparticle to reassemble itself if you're stripping off vital pieces that it needs. So EDTA's depositories are a good strategy as well. So yeah, like you're already doing with the humic and fulvic acids, I take it every single day. And folks, that what do you think you're making in your compost pile? Remember what I talked about in the very beginning? Remember how I said we're blowing things up out there? Those humic and fulvic acids, what do you think is being produced in your compost pile? That's exactly it. So if it's working in a compost pile, just like EJ suggests here, maybe it's working in your body when, you know, you're using some of these methods. So I think you're already, I don't know that it can be through some filtration process. I mean, I'm sure there's something that's in the black budget out there that might be able to do it. But the only thing I know to do is to strip off the necessary particles through chelation. Outside of that, I really don't know what else to do. Maybe somebody else has some ideas out there. And then he also says, third part of that is, please keep mentioning preparedness tips in your podcast. I think things are about to ramp up. I know that we have close to 6 months of food, not counting what we have in our gardens and our orchards and living animals. I have a separate emergency propane tank for propane, gas, dual fuel generators. I have plenty of ammo. I have a separate gas generator as well as a pump, but I would like to get electric free and set that up if I could figure out how to do it. We've been stocking up on home remedies and medicines. Is there anything else that we should be investing in stocking up right now? In that case right there, I think you're already doing the things that are absolutely necessary. In fact, when William goes out on a consultation, the first thing he suggests is that you go out and get 6 months of food. Now, what does that mean for a lot of people? That doesn't mean going out there getting freeze-dried stuff, folks. You can get rice and beans. I mean, you just need to live, okay? You just need calories in a pinch. And you can still get out relatively cheap for rice and beans and, you know, shelf-stable fats. Remember, the hardest thing to find in nature is fat. So, folks, if you're putting anything back, and EJ, I would also include you in there, consider things that keep a very, very long time. Shelf-stable fats. I mean, you can go down and get some coconut oil. I mean, the liquid oils go rancid after a while. You know, the fat that we render from our pigs. Man, you know how long we can keep that stuff? I mean, a long, long, long time. So, folks, you have options out there in terms of your food storage that doesn't necessarily involve. Yeah, we have an affiliate deal with, I can't even think of their name right now. But anyway, we don't really sell a whole lot through these folks because I tell everybody to do their own. So we're not the best, we're not the best fit, I suppose. So yeah, you can go down there, you can go to Sam's Club or Costco or whatever, maybe you can get 50 pound bags of rice, put them in Mylar bags, put them in 5 gallon buckets, oxygen absorbers in there. And folks, we don't even know what the shelf life is. We don't even know what the shelf life is on oatmeal. Dead serious. You know, is it losing nutritional value over time? Yeah, but at least you're still going to be alive. So if you feel like you got to go out there and break the bank, spending all this money on freeze-dried food, folks, no, you don't need to do that. You can do a lot of it. Like I said, there's entire cultures right now that live every single day of their lives on nothing but rice. So, yeah, those are some pretty good strategies right there. And as far as anything else we should be investing and stocking up on right now, I mean, after you got all those other things squared away, I would be thinking about another means of exchange, whether that's silver. To some people, that might be Bitcoin. I'm sure that's something you've already gotten squared away. But everything he mentioned there, folks, is exactly a checklist that we should all be worried about right now, especially since I don't see. I mean, yeah, you're told from time to time all these wonderful things unfolding. But I'm not seeing a single person in this administration that isn't a puppet, just like the previous administration. Okay. Dan Bongino, you've heard me go on about that guy forever and a day on this podcast. I think he's banned me actually on Twitter because he's writing, like, talking about these children that they've rest. You heard our kids. We're going, I'm like, are you a comedian in your off time, bro? Where's that Epstein client list? Okay. Oh, so you can get away with it if you're on Epstein Island, but you're going to get on your high horse about all you're doing, folks. Going back to EJ's point, these people all in there are Zionist puppets, every last one of them, and they make no bones about it. They are not America first, and they make no bones about it, and they tell you every single day. So that's why I'm saying this is why this question was especially important to me to answer on here, because preparedness. This is why we talk about preparedness, permaculture, preparedness, and practical living, and they all go hand in hand. You don't have to put the permaculture over there. They can all be baked into the same doggone cake, okay? But I think EJ's right. You know, 6 months is a pretty good place to start. You have people like Martin Armstrong, probably one of the best trends forecasters in the world, says everybody needs to put back 2 years of food. This is Martin Armstrong, y'all. Probably the most sought after economist on the planet. And he's on podcasts openly saying you need to probably put back 2 years worth of food. It's significant. And this is a guy who's, he's been more right than wrong. Okay. And he's in here. He's also saying, hey folks, the world is gearing up for war. I mean, his Socrates program, they threw this dude in jail for almost a decade because the CIA, he wouldn't allow the CIA to steal his stuff. How about that? Yeah, talk about a political prisoner and a half. But anyway, hopefully that was a blessing to you. There's a whole lot. Let me see here. From Rumble, the pile is supposed to be 130 for most of the 18 days. Yeah, I'm not sure I'll be able to get into a lot of these questions. When I'm doing this thing solo, yo, I'm sorry. I can't really look into the chat as much as I'd like. But I'm able to at least get through the program and hopefully give you some information that might be of value to you. Want to thank once again Renewed Homestead for handling the chat out there. And I also want to give a big shout out to all you folks out there that have participated, volunteered, donated everything to Living Soil Foundation, folks. We're the only ones around here that have hit the finish line. We had people drop coming out of the woodwork talking about, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do that, and every last one of them are gone. Not one person is out there. Nobody's done any testing outside of us. Nobody. And so, I mean, all of you wonderful people have, and many of you don't even live here. That's the part. Most of you don't even live here. That's the part that's just, it chokes me up when I stop to think about it, that you care so much. But look, you're going to be the beneficiaries of the decentralized protocol that we've come up with to, it won't be behind a paywall. I'm not saying you won't have to pay for something because, you know, you're going to have to buy, if you want to use Dr. Will's stuff, well, you're going to have to pay for it. I mean, I can't buy it for you, but, you know, this is why we're going on about the compost so much. But yeah, it's really, really heartwarming in a massive way, especially when we got a world that just seems like it just keeps falling apart every single day. And then you realize that, man, there's some really fantastic people out there. So many of you people are, you know, definitely among them. So I want to thank you as always. And thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, y'all, stay alert. Stay alive. Channel and it's nature, but the knowledge rings with roots that run deep. Wisdom from sowing, permaculture dreams. Let the ideas unfold. I'm grooving with the truth, truth, truth. Feeling nature's truth, truth, truth. We got the answer. All we need to do, listen to the earth. They got us from the smallest sprout to harmony begin in the cycle of life, for the magic's alive to the